Bloom Shapiro, accounting, tax, and business advisors, maintaining an unwavering focus on your future so you can focus on what's most important to you, your business, in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Reston, Virginia, and Greater Boston. Step forward at BloomShapiro.com.
What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived and it's just in time.
Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Larry Rifkin, along with John Kropczyk. And John, I just read a statistic where 47% of the American public is thinking of moving.
Yeah, well, I look around where we live here, and there are people on the move. I'm not sure where they're going, but there's people on the move.
Yeah. Hasta luego. Adios. I don't know where they're going either. Right now, I'm staying put, actually within about a circumference of about, 3 feet. But no, with all that said, there are a lot of people thinking about their future, and maybe they've delayed or denied that which they have thought about for a long period of time because, inertia sets in. My brother-in-law, John, just moved down to Florida, and he had a wake-up call. He had some medical issues last year that were pretty serious. And he and his wife, they don't have children, though they do have his mother-in-law. And they wanted to move to Florida. He had bought a condo there that he's using as a rental property. But he bought another place, and they've just moved down. A tremendously difficult thing when you're in your 60s and you've accumulated a lot of stuff. And we talked about stuff in another podcast and the difficulty of moving it. And we all find out, as much as we don't think we're hoarders, we are on some level.
We are. It's true. And, I've been trying to clean my house out because of just stuff we've collected over the years. And it's tough. It's tough because you get attached to stuff and you don't really know why.
Well, we can't regenerate organs yet in the way that we'd like, not all of them. But we certainly seem to regenerate stuff. And, that's the thing. When I go online to buy something or I go to a store and I say, oh, my goodness, where am I going to put the box? And what am I going to do with the warranty? And how about the registration? I got to go online. I got to do that. It's like I'd rather not buy anything because it's so much work. But I got to take a vacation right before the pandemic, and I told you all about it, John.
Yep.
And I fell in love. I really did. I fell in love with Costa Rica. In fact, I wrote a song about it, John, that I'll be recording soon called The Costa Rican Way. And they've got this wonderful saying in Costa Rica, Pura Vida. It means pure life.
Uh-huh.
And the people live a pure life down there, John. And one of the things that really struck me was the fact that they have not had an armed forces since 1948. They disbanded their military.
Wow. Well, who would invade Costa Rica?
Oh, you want to know? Nicaragua, Panama. Well, I mean, saying they do have enemies around them, and they do have border skirmishes. They do have issues with their neighbors. They're not all as pleasant, but it's such a wonderful land. The people are so gentle. They care about the environment. They protect their forests. They have an incredible ecology, John. You could go from the sandy shores and the heat into the mountains and the dampness in a couple of hours. It's just gorgeous and remarkable. And I'm not the only one who thinks that, because a lot of Americans have been moving down to Costa Rica.
Wow.
So I wanted to find out about that, John. And I tried to do an interview down there. Gee, I could have written off the whole trip, John, as a business expense. But I didn't do it, IRS, if you're listening. I didn't do it. So when I got back, because I wanted to find the right person, I found Rebecca Clower, and she's the owner and a broker, a licensed realtor in Florida and in Costa Rica. She's a woman who's lived in Costa Rica most of her life, a remarkable woman who actually has programs on HGTV.
Wow.
Yeah, about Costa Rica. And we had trouble.
Look for that.
Yeah, you've got to look for it. She's really wonderful. And we had trouble kind of meeting up on the phone because she's so busy. And people are always down there looking. And I don't know. We did this around the time the pandemic started. So I don't really know what the impact has been of the pandemic on people thinking about going down and looking. But I can tell you that this really has been a trend over the last couple of years.
Imagine if you got trapped down there for the pandemic.
Oh. Well, I say, depending upon what happens in November, I may be looking again to Costa Rica. So, any rate, I wrote a song called The Costa Rican Way, where the breeze makes everything sway. Wish I could stay another day. That's the Costa Rican way.
Oh, that sounds good.
And yeah, it's got that little, Latin flavor. Well, let's enjoy this podcast. Let's think about Costa Rica. And by the way, there are some incredible virtual tours online, and I'm sure you can find a virtual tour of Costa Rica. And I would encourage you to go on it, John. I mean, just to get away for a while.
I know. My daughter's been there. She loved Costa Rica.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, they went there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot to love, and we'll talk about it all now on America Trends.
With me on the line is Rebecca Clower from Blue Water Properties in gorgeous Costa Rica. And Rebecca, I was just there and enjoyed myself so much. What a beautiful country that you have. Now, you're a dual citizen of the U.S. and Costa Rica. Give us a bit of your backstory.
Sure. Well, I've been here since 2006 and basically started working for RE/MAX in Playa Tamarindo, which is a pretty popular surf town in Guanacaste in the northwest portion of the country, and basically started working in real estate, and in 2007 started my own business, which is Blue Water Properties, and started, into the real estate and property management world, and kind of haven't looked back since.
Well, you also have a presence on HGTV, and how impactful is that for people thinking about moving down to Costa Rica from places like the United States?
I think HGTV is a great channel to tune in and see amazing places around the world, and obviously Costa Rica is one of them. But, you know, I always tell people it's good to do your research if you plan on making this your forever home, and making sure that it's for you, because sometimes what you see on TV and what the reality is can be two very different things. In terms of shows like House Hunters International and Beachfront Bargain Hunt, I've been on those shows and received a lot of clients both on the rental side and also on the real estate side as well. So it's been very impactful in terms of the people that see Costa Rica on that global platform and are able to come here and appreciate it because of what they see.
Well, a couple of years ago, I was in Arizona, and the idea about doing this kind of podcast about a trend, people moving down to a place like Costa Rica, occurred when he was an Uber driver for the moment in Arizona, going through some medical work at the Mayo Clinic. But he talked about having moved full-time to Costa Rica, how much he loved it, and how popular it was becoming. So tell me, what kind of trend is this really? And are most of the people coming down full-time? Is this an alternative to going south to Florida or the Carolinas? Or are most people still doing the dual residency approach to this?
Many people that are coming down, what I've seen is that there's kind of a switch in who exactly is coming down here, living here on a longer-term basis. So we have, you know, before it used to be more retirees, but now what we see actually are more families lately. Mm. Of course, we still have our retiree segment here at the beach, but we see a lot of people that are just looking to take some time off, looking for a sabbatical. The families that come down here, a lot of them work remotely, so they can kind of be anywhere in the world. And they want their children to experience a different culture and learn Spanish at the same time. So that's one of the major reasons that people come here. Plus, you know, overall, it's a safe place. The people are wonderful. The healthcare is good, so there's a lot of different reasons why people choose Costa Rica. Not to mention, obviously, the proximity to North America, the availability of flights, direct flights and things like that are just some of the reasons that people want to come down here and experience what it is.
Well, I think Costa Rica just feels like a world apart, even from other Central American countries, though I do know that Panama is also a popular destination for many in North America. I mean, the fact that you don't have a military, the people seem very happy with that, happy with the healthcare, the education. It just seems like a really positive place. There's so much about the environment that's being protected so carefully. Tell us, am I imagining this, or is Costa Rica really a different kind of place?
I mean, I've been to all the other Central American countries, the neighbors to the north and the south, and you know, I think the one thing that Costa Rica has here is that it's more stable economically. We tend to be, you know, obviously Nicaragua to the north and Panama to the south that have their own political issues, but you know, Costa Rica amidst everything without an army, with great health care, still, you know, is able to flourish amongst many things in the world, as you know, that are going on right now. So that's a great thing. And one of the major reasons and things that were important to me, too, is both of my sons were born here. So and I think medical is definitely one, if not the top reason that people move here, next to the lifestyle itself and the safety.
Well, what is it that people may be surprised about when they come down? I mean, do they learn Spanish before they come down, and how important is that? Or do they expect people to bend to American ways and customs and pace, or do Americans seem to want to adapt to a Costa Rican life?
You know, that really depends on the person, because at the beach there's many, many people that speak English, so if you wanted to, you can get away without speaking Spanish. There's definitely a good amount of people here that don't, but and I mean the visitors, the people that come here. But I think it's always helpful to learn Spanish before you come here. I think it's helpful to want to be respectful in the country that you're in and even just try to make an effort, even if it's not perfect, you know. And my mom's an immigrant as well. She's from Costa Rica, so when she went to the States in the 1970s, she didn't speak any English whatsoever, but she learned. So I always tell people to make your life a lot easier if you try to, you know, make an effort, and realizing that as we get older, it gets a little bit tougher, but that doesn't mean you can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say. So, you know, if you really want to try, you can definitely learn Spanish. It's really not that hard. So.
Now, when I was down there recently, I was in the Northwest sector, and of course, the Pacific Ocean. Then on the other side, you've got the Caribbean. You've got dry to wet. You've got a beautiful, you know, array of possibilities when you go to Costa Rica. As a realtor, how do you describe, because somebody might come down there thinking, well, I don't know anything, so help me understand, would I be better on this side of, you know, the country or that side? You know, how difficult is it when people really get down to the serious consideration of making a move from Florida or from Connecticut or from Texas? You know, how many decision points do they really have to consider to make a really informed choice?
Sure. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's great to visit the different parts of the country. They're vastly different. I think we have somewhere around 11 different microclimates. You can kind of pick your climate and your temperature. So obviously, you know, when people come to the beach and they say it's hot, well, of course it's hot. It's the beach. We're at the coastline. We're 10 degrees north of the equator. And so people have to realize that our average daily temps are going to hover around 90 degrees or more. So, you know, those are the things that people need to understand fully. Am I comfortable in this type of environment? And if not, you can choose to go up higher in the mountains where, for example, my parents live, and the, you know, the daily temps drop a good 20 degrees at night, and during the daytime it's still warm, in 80-ish, but it's a different area. We have rainforests, we have volcanoes, you know, we have rivers, and like I said, we have every area in between. So it's just a matter of checking out the different areas and see what calls to you. Because at the end of the day, there's areas that are much more humid. Our region is the driest of all of the provinces, so we see the least amount of rain, hence less humidity. As you go down south, it's the humidity increases big time. And of course, as you go up higher into the mountains, it gets cooler. So that's the nice thing about this small little country is that we can travel an hour and a half and the climate changes for us. So it's kind of nice when we want to escape to the mountains, we can do so. So that's one of the benefits of being here as well.
Oh, absolutely. What impact have Americans moving down had on Costa Rica? And do you have any numbers? I haven't been able to find a particular number as to Americans. But, I mean, are we driving up the housing prices? Are we changing the restaurant taste because we want X, Y, or Z? I did notice in Liberia there were a lot of franchises, Subway and McDonald's and some of the others. Have Americans?
They weren't always there.
Say that again?
And I said they weren't always there.
Yeah, right.
You know, we have a lot of gringo influence. We have a lot of things that have popped up, especially in the last few years, like you say, last 5 years, McDonald's and Walmart and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. And it's craziness, really. And so it's the kind of thing that you see the influence and you see where it's going, but you know, I think that's the one thing is Costa Rica will always be Costa Rica, but, you know, we definitely have influence coming from the north and things popping up. And the expats moving here, they're still very friendly to the expats, and that's one great thing about this area as well. A lot of the expats, many of them will come and either buy into business or start businesses if they don't work remotely. And obviously, doing so are providing jobs for the local community. So that's a positive.
Getting back to that question about housing costs, are we driving up Americans? Because, well, we might come down there. I know that's one of the benefits that people talk about. Wow, you can live like a king or queen for a lot less than you can in many places or most places in the United States. So a home that maybe a local would want to buy for $100,000, are we coming in and trying to snap it up, but we'll pay $200,000? Is that happening?
Not really. You know, the homes that are more, let's call them simpler homes, or what we call Tico homes, are always going to be in the market that they're in. I don't really think that the majority of foreigners aren't necessarily looking for that type of home, so it doesn't really adversely affect that portion of the market. Right now, it's a buyer's market, so, you know, the inventory in the market is pretty healthy right now. And there's a lot of deals still to be had, so that's positive. And because we do have more inventory than usual, it's a good time to be a buyer right now and get a better deal.
Well, is there a lot of activity by the Costa Rican government to say to Americans or to Canadians or folks from the UK, this is a great time to come here and put down some new roots, and if you're not happy with the politics in your country or whatever, with Brexit and all that's going on in America, is there an active marketing effort?
There's a lot of, I don't think we really need to convince people too hard. I mean, there's a lot of people that come down here because they're not happy with the politics in their home country. You know, I don't think that there's a perfect place anywhere. I just want to put that out there. But I think because we just have a smaller population and less issues than, say, in the States, you know, it doesn't feel like politics rules this country like some of the other places in the world. So, you know, like I say, a lot of people come down here to get away from that. I barely watch TV. I try to focus on living a positive, calm life here and trying to do more things outdoors and not stuck on social media and watching TV all the time, because I feel like there's not a whole heck of a lot of good news anyways right now.
Except
fun. I'm actually going to be, I'll be filming a new show actually on the 18th of this month, called Jungle Life. It's a new show about expats, that moved to Costa Rica.
Huh.
So I'm looking forward to filming that. I'll be filming for 5 days, the 17th to the 22nd, excuse me. And, it's interesting. It's, a couple with twin girls who moved out here and bought a house on 80 acres, and they chose to live a little bit off the grid. And so it's an interesting story and kind of shows more of what the minority of people look for. So that's obviously going to be something that I think will be very interesting to tune into and understand other people's outlook on living here.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is the biggest misconception people moving there have? I mean, you've heard it all, I'm sure. What's the one thing or the couple of things that they get wrong at the outset?
I think that just a lot of people think that, you know, we don't have great health care. We don't have, you know, I mean, I had friends that asked me if my children were born in a hospital. And it's like, hello, yes, of course. So, you know, just things like that. And I'm here to tell you that the health care is phenomenal. My parents live here. And, of course, like most parents, you have aging parents. And my father had hip replacement surgery last year. They did a phenomenal job. And so, you know, they can handle everything here, which I think is one misconception. And then, you know, the other is that the roads are so horrid. You know, the roads actually have improved drastically.
No, they were good.
Over the last decade. You know, and things are improving. Things have improved drastically, especially in the last 5 years. I mean, we have, you know, really great grocery stores. We have all, you know, banking. We have entertainment. You know, there's a lot to do here, especially if you're an outdoor enthusiast.
Let me ask you, are any of those improvements because of the expectations of those who are now investing from the United States and other places in the country?
I mean, I think we have a lot of improvements, absolutely, because of tourism and investment in the local areas with whether it be local development, new hotels that have popped up, et cetera. Obviously, they want to be able to keep up with great infrastructure. So that definitely helps, obviously, the foreign investment, the local investment, and everybody in between.
Do Americans down there understanding how to become a citizen, of visa requirements, and how difficult is it to establish citizenship in Costa Rica?
Yeah, I mean, getting a residency is not difficult. Getting your citizenship takes more time, either that or a family connection in Costa Rica. Basically, there are several different ways to obtain your citizenship. I'm sorry, your residency. So if you purchase a property in excess of $200,000, you can obtain residency. And also, you can apply as a retiree. So you're eligible to get your residency as a retiree as well. And then you have benefits, of course, of being part of the socialized healthcare system, which is very low cost, and other benefits as well, such as discounts for intercountry flights and restaurants, hotels, and other establishments.
In the publication today, Costa Rica, they published an article about the unrealistic expectations that U.S. expats face when they do move to Costa Rica and other small countries. And one is the sense that they can simply relocate and live a casual, carefree life. But, you know, there is a certain carefree nature to the life down there. But is that unrealistic?
I always joke and say if you don't have to run a business, then it absolutely can be carefree and casual. I mean, if you have people to help you, the right people helping you, it definitely can be a very easy place to live. I think that, you know, people expect Costa Rica to be the same as their home country. I think they're in for a little bit of a rude awakening, but at the same it's a great place, and there's no other place like it. But you take the good with the bad. I don't think that there's any utopia, but Costa Rica, for me, the pros far outweigh the cons, and I think that that happens for most people, and that's why I stick around.
What is the hardest thing to give up? I know that a lot of people might think they can have a home that is as large or luxurious as the one they left, but how do you downsize your expectations, and what regards do you do that to come and live a Costa Rican life?
Well, I mean, at the beach, obviously, it's much more casual here, and it's very laid back. So if you're looking for city life, then we obviously recommend that you go towards the Central Valley, where it's more of a city existence, and you have that sort of living. You know, it really, you have to come with your expectation that if you're living in beach, generally speaking, beach communities tend to be a little bit more laid back. So if that's what you're seeking, then that's what you'll get. But, you know, I mean, for me, your expectations, again, it depends what you're looking for. And if you want a quiet lifestyle, just understanding where those areas would be. And then, you know, and then opposite that, if you want something that's more happening, more city life, more things to do, then obviously it might make more sense to live in and around the Central Valley outside the capital.
In general, do you need a car to get around? And do most people bring their cars with them?
Depending on where you live, you may or may not need a car. But in Guanacaste, generally speaking, it makes life a lot easier if you have one. I do have a car. I mean, Guanacaste is the biggest province in Costa Rica. It's very spread out. And also, if you want to be able to travel around and take, you know, tours of different areas. Obviously, if you're in the city, you can do without a car, as you have, you know, services with taxis, Uber, and as well as public bus. So you have all those options open to you if you live in the city, whether it's San Jose or outside Liberia.
We'll be back with more of this America Trends podcast in 30 seconds. At Bloom Shapiro, New England's largest independent business advisor, discovering what makes you different is what makes us different. Our partners are true business advisors, listening, analyzing, asking the questions no one else asks, creating solutions no one else can, anticipating your future goals and drafting plans to make sure you get there. Because at Bloom Shapiro, achieving your success and satisfaction is how we measure ours. Step forward at BloomShapiro.com.
I noticed the physical beauty of the Costa Rican people on the whole. Now, I don't know if I was just imagining it or what it might be, but I did read where singles go down there, jump into romance, but cultural misunderstandings and social norms may not be as compatible. Is that something you've seen, or is that just someone's writing about just on whimsy?
It really depends, I think, upon people, not so much, you know, my mother is Tika and my dad's American. So, I mean, they understand each other. So I think if people understand each other, usually you're able to overcome everything else, in my opinion. But if you don't speak Spanish, I think it's really difficult to be in a relationship with someone that doesn't speak English, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, you know, my husband's from here, and although he speaks perfect English, we tend to speak in Spanish because I just prefer to do that because I speak English all day long to most of my clients who are gringos. So, you know, for me, I think it goes a long way if you try to learn Spanish and try to communicate in that language. I think it'd be really difficult, not so much to find somebody, because I feel like there's always great people, you know, looking for love, but, you know, just trying to find someone that you're truly compatible with. But that's a lot of different, that's a lot of different things. For me, it was a lot of different things, you know, just someone that was on the same wavelength as me and, you know, was intelligent. I didn't have that many requirements when I was here, but yeah.
What about the nature of time? I know in Americans we're always looking at our watch or our clock. What about there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of mañana island culture, and so, you know, it can get a little bit frustrating, people not showing up exactly on time for appointments and things like that. So if you're a type A personality like I am, you either need to loosen up a tad, or the area, at least the beach area, could drive you a little bit crazy. And then, you know, but in general, they're getting a lot better about that. So that definitely helps us Taipeis live a little bit easier here.
Should you get rid of a lot of stuff before moving down, even shipping in and out of Costa Rica, how difficult or hard is that?
I shipped a 40-foot container back in 2006, and I found it to be very easy. I wish I would have brought more stuff down, you know, to be honest with you. I ship things all the time. It's pretty easy to do it now. But you have to understand, back then, it was a lot harder to get things here. If somebody asked me, would you ship a container again, I probably wouldn't do it now 14 years later, because we have now the ability to be able to get almost everything here that we couldn't really before. So that's one of the major factors or reasons behind the fact that I sent a 40-foot container to begin with. I also shipped my car, which I wouldn't make that mistake again, because it wasn't a car that was serviced by the local dealership here. And so I made the mistake of bringing it. I had to pay very high import duties, and then no one really wanted to look at my car. So it was one of those things that I did that I learned from, for sure. It was a little bit of a mistake. But I sold the car, and I got a diesel, which is more of what is king here anyways. So,
how do Americans adapt to the Costa Rican diet?
Well, there's a lot of gallo pinto, so if you're not into rice and beans, you know, you might not love Costa Rica. The Costa Rica diet is really actually quite bland. You know, people think they come here and they're expecting Mexican food and everything's going to be super spicy, and it's quite opposite. Costa Rican cuisine, generally speaking, is a little bit on the boring side. So, you know, I love gallo pinto, which is rice and beans and, you know, usually has some chopped onions and some cilantro. And but I grew up with that, so it wasn't like a big deal. When I came here, people would look at me weird and say, oh, you're eating rice and beans for breakfast? I said, yeah, I am. And this is what we eat, you know. So it's kind of those things that you just get used to seeing it practically in every dish if you're ordering a Costa Rican dish. But I have to tell you, we have in our area, we have so many wonderful restaurants, and many of them are owned by expats. So we have the ability to get international cuisine. So we can basically get anything from gallo pinto to a bagel and everything in between. So it's really, you don't have to adapt so much. I mean, but the great thing is we have some really fabulous fresh fruits and veggies that I love, and there's less processed food here. So that's definitely a plus also.
No, absolutely. I mean, you could tell that everything had just come from farm to table. On how much money can you live like a king or queen? I mean, we read these reports up here that if you take your Social Security check and say you're getting $2,000 a month, then you can survive, or you can do better here than there, than just about anywhere in the United States on a limited or fixed income.
Sure. I mean, my parents pretty much bring in just a little bit above that between their Social Security and a small pension that my father has. But I want to say they bring in somewhere around $2,300 to $2,500 a month, and they're able to live quite comfortably. They, you know, I might note that they live outside the Central Valley, and they did pay cash for their house, so their expenses obviously are more so around maintaining the car that they have and paying the utilities, which are a little bit are quite low because they have solar for electricity. So they're able to live quite well, and they go out every, you know, at least once or twice a week to eat out, and, you know, I think they live a really good lifestyle in the retirement time.
For those who really are environmentally conscious, I found that the country is doing so many things to protect the environment that if that's one of your prerequisites, that you want a country where they really respect, you know, the earth and nature, I think Costa Rica is a wonderful place for that.
Absolutely. The government has set aside about 25% of the country for national parks, and those are completely protected. And, you know, they'll always be there. I mean, that's the major reason that people come here. They want to see protected areas. They want to see animals. They want to be able to see green, and that's basically everything that Costa Rica boasts. So they've taken it upon themselves to make sure that 25% of the earth, Costa Rican's land is protected forever.
In closing, you said it's a buyer's market today, and so I would imagine a lot of Americans are looking at it again or still. The question is, who are you competing with in Central America? Is it Panama? When you're talking to a potential buyer, are they saying, well, I'm looking at Costa Rica, I'm looking at Panama? What do you normally find as either holding these people back or competing with you?
I think some people look at Panama for sure. Some people even look at Nicaragua to the north, which is cheaper than us. But, you know, their political climate is not ideal, to say the least. And I don't really see it as a safe investment because of the current president. And so a lot of people have really stopped looking at Nicaragua lately. I feel that that used to be your competition. But what people are looking at besides Costa Rica, a lot of people do look at Panama. Some look at Ecuador and some even in Colombia. But I would say that Panama and Ecuador perhaps are in Mexico even, are our competition.
Rebecca Clower, I want to thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are because Costa Rica is so desirable. But I want to thank you again. She is, of course, with Blue Water Properties, and you see her on HGTV. Remind us about your new series again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just wrapped up a show called Beaches Around the World, which they're still editing. So we're hoping that it will be out before the year is up. And there's another show show that we'll be filming soon called The Jungle Life. And so those are two brand new shows that are going to be on HGTV. And, of course, you can see all my repeats of House Hunters International that I've done, as well as Beachfront Bargain Hunt.
All right. Well, a busy woman indeed. We thank you so much for being with us on America Trends.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
America Trends podcast is part of the MHNR Network, mhnrnetwork.com. At Bloom Shapiro, New England's largest independent business advisor, discovering what makes you different is what makes Bloom different.